You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Monday to everyone out there. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we are back with, we have stuff to talk about. We have plenty of stuff to talk about. So we are going to do that today. We are going to talk about the Michigan-Iowa matchup. I haven't looked at the numbers, but I mean, boy, is that an unfair matchup. Just like Nebraska pulled Ohio State in week one, Michigan getting Iowa for Champions Week is brutal. We'll talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about basketball at the end. But we are going to start out talking about, I mean, we're still talking about the COVID cases situation. Now, number one, Michigan is seemingly back. They practiced yesterday. Zach Shaw had a picture of them out on the practice field, so that's good news. And Jim Harbaugh confirmed today that they did, in fact, practice yesterday. They'll practice today. They'll have tomorrow off. They'll practice Wednesday, Thursday. He said Friday, but that's usually not a practice day. So that's good news. The bad news is that the narrative continues to persist. Michigan's the only team this year, save for maybe Florida State when they were about to take on Miami, that it continues to be an issue, that people won't take it seriously, that people sit there and say, like my best friend texted me about 20 minutes ago saying Valeni and Rico, and I love Rico, Rico's my guy, but they said that Valeni and Rico are saying that Michigan chose not to play against Ohio State so that they could save Harbaugh from another embarrassing loss. It's just not true. That's tinfoil hat. That's not. Listen, it's. Now it don't sound like Valeni. Listen, I told you. I'm telling you right now, Michigan's actually had COVID issues. And there's people that went out there and tried to ping it like they didn't because the weekly numbers came out and there were 9 student athletes that tested positive this past week. And they're like, oh, look. 9. It's not 9 total, you dimwits. That was the uptick that made them say, we don't have this under control. It's the other 2 cumulative weeks and then this one. Keeping in mind that it's not just the number that are positive. That's the people who are positive are out 21 days, regardless. The people who have the contract tracing issue could be out 14 days depending on the circumstance. So that's what that is. It is shocking to me how much people want to try to paint Michigan in a bad light. Like, hey, a bunch of people on your team are sick. Let's find a way to dunk on Michigan. The Ohio State contingent is not helping, of course, because some of their media, I don't know how many, I've seen some say, listen, this is stupid. Let's stop with this ducking thing. But it's just absurd, especially because it's, as I said last week, it's like being in orbit, being an astronaut in orbit of the Earth with connection to the people down on the ground, and you have a bunch of people, you know, messaging you saying, you idiot, the earth is flat. That's what it is. That's how it feels to me, because I've known for a fact outside of the reporting that Michigan has COVID issues right now, that Michigan wanted to play Ohio State. You can come up with your tinfoil hat theories as to why it isn't happening, but it's not happening because Michigan couldn't do it. And you see people say, well, they weren't in the red. Guess what? 0 teams in the Big Ten that have canceled games have been in that red zone. 0. So I'm just done with all of these people that want to come up with these theories to try to dunk on Michigan. It is absurd. It needs to stop. I will play right now. I asked Carlo Kemp about it. And this was a little bit more of a subjective type question than I would have liked to have asked. Not really my style. I like to try to be more objective. But, I mean, it's annoying. I'm annoyed by it. All right, so listen to what Carlo Kemp had to say about the rivalry.
When the game was canceled last week, there was a lot of, just to go back to Ohio State, there was just a lot of social media chatter, obviously that spurned kind of from the week before with notions that your team was avoiding Ohio State, but then some of your teammates obviously went out there and said, no, we would never duck this game. Could you speak on that and why your team would, you and your teammates would never avoid Ohio State?
I mean, it's just like listening at some of the stuff is you try to ignore it as best as you can. And I think a lot of us do a really good job of ignoring all that stuff. But it was a lot easier to, you know, kind of see it this week because we were just kind of at home. And so we have more time for to just kind of see, you know, what people say during the week. And, you know, it's frustrating. And it's just there's so much that goes into it. I mean, these are the rules that are put in place by the highest level doctors that we have in the country. This is beyond anything, any player's control. You know, players don't vote on if we want to play games this week or if we want to play this opponent. We've been playing this game for over 100 years. And all of a sudden now we don't want to play the game, but that's just not the case. That would never be the case. And that's, you know, like I said before, you come to Michigan to play that game. It's the only game you really think about the entire year just because it's the last game and you want to just keep building your entire season and use, you know, every game until you get there to just get better and better. So then by the time you play them, your last game, you're the best version of yourself, best version of your team. And hopefully be able to go out there and showcase that on Saturday. But by no means was anyone not trying to play them. We had a, you know, spike in numbers, and this is people's lives and this is people's health, and that's way more serious than anything compared to, you know, playing a football game on a Saturday.
If I could follow up real fast, how much more of a focus has that game become in the last couple of years? I know that the last few years that there's been a little bit more of an emphasis on a week-to-week basis as far as Ohio State, rather than just the we take every week as a, you know, as a championship week.
That game inside this building has always been on every player's mind. There's, you know, just because the outcomes in the last few years have not been obviously what we wanted or what we expected, that does not mean we go into that game thinking that it's like any other game. This is the game that you trained for. This is the game that you worked for since January every single year. It's the game you think about every time you're in the weight room, every time you're practicing, every time you're training and straining. And that's been the standard that all those seniors, you know, set when I came in here in 2016. So as time has just grown on, just trying to, you know, keep that same example and keep that same foundation for these younger players coming up so they can do the same thing when it's their senior year as well.
So that's it. That's the update. That's where it is. So it is absurd. And I know that people are saying, well, it's not the players, it's the coaches. No, the coaches wanted to play. I can tell you with, I would bet everything that I own, which is not much, but I would bet everything that I own that Jim Harbaugh did everything in his power to try to make sure that the game could happen, that he wanted to play the game. So let's just put that to bed. If people come at you saying that that's not the case, I want to say kick him in the teeth in the way that Bo Schembechler used to say when someone, or kick him in the shins was what Bo used to say. Someone says, compliments you, kick him in the shins. Kick him in the shins. Someone comes at you with this because it's just dumb. It's stupid. Anyway, all right. We are going to talk about the Michigan-Iowa game here momentarily. But first, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How would you like to hit that reset button, get ready for what's next? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. With work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7, sometimes you just need that moment to turn it off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light, because it's made to chill. Only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. As you all know, I don't drink anymore, but when I did, when I was 21 years old, Coors Light was the light beer of choice that I went with. It was until I stopped drinking in 2014 or 2013, whatever it was. Anyway, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. Literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It's perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light's the one I choose when I need to unwind, or when I used to choose when I needed to unwind. So when you need to hit that reset button, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right. We are going to talk a little basketball here in a moment. But first, let's talk about this Michigan-Iowa matchup that came. It is unbelievable that this is how this ended up going. If you didn't know the schedule, I'll tell you the schedule in entirety here momentarily. I just got to pull it up right now. But it's unbelievable to me that this is what the matchups were. And I understand kind of what they were trying to do to some degree. But like, so the one that there's two matchups here that are exactly what you would expect. Nebraska, the last place team. Well, not exactly what you would expect, but close. Nebraska, the last place team in the West versus Rutgers, who I believe is the fifth place team in the East. Usually considered the last, but they're not. Okay. Ohio State versus Northwestern, number one versus number one. Outside of that, because they wanted to accommodate a couple missed games, you have Minnesota at Wisconsin and Michigan State at Maryland. So an East-on-East matchup and a West-on-West matchup. Then you've got Illinois at Penn State and Purdue at Indiana to redo that, you know, there's the rivalry games that they're making up that weren't able to happen. Minnesota at Wisconsin and Purdue at Indiana. I understand you want to try to get some of those rivalry games going. So then Michigan gets the short end of the straw and faces a red-hot Iowa team, which might be the best team in the West. I know that they're not number one. They had lost two games compared to Northwestern's one, but they've won six straight. And we're just clowning other teams. Now, will they have Amir Smith-Marset, who injured himself doing a touchdown celebration, a flip into the end zone, which I was watching that live, and it was kind of hilarious. Not in that way that I'm, like, you know, rooting for a guy to get hurt, but just one of those things where it's, like, an injury that absolutely didn't need to happen. You know? We don't know. But nonetheless, it is an absolutely brutal matchup that Michigan gets that short end of the stick here, the short end of the shortest straw here, essentially, is what they pulled. If you want to look at what Iowa brings to the table, they are actually worse than Michigan offensively overall, as far as yards per game, but not by much. 381 yards Michigan got compared to Iowa's 368. So they're both middle of the pack. Michigan 6th, Iowa's 7th. As far as obviously rushing the ball, they are much further ahead than Michigan. They're 5th. They get 171 yards on the ground. Michigan's only getting 131 because who knows what they're doing there. Passing-wise, though, Michigan's much better, but who knows who will be passing. 250 yards a game for Michigan. Iowa averages under 200 yards a game. They're not trying to pass the ball. Defensively is where things obviously get not so good. Iowa, they get 313 yards a game is what they keep teams under. Michigan allows more than 100 more than that. They're 11th with 429 yards allowed per game. Scoring defense is not a pretty picture. Iowa's third. They allow 16 points a game. Michigan's allowing 34.5 points a game. Second to last in the Big Ten. Against the pass, Iowa's fourth. They allow 206 yards Michigan allows 250. And rushing, Iowa's third. They allow 107 yards. Michigan allows 178. So those are those numbers. They're a really, really good team. So Iowa's really good at getting interceptions. They've got 11. Michigan's last in the conference. They have two interceptions this year. Two. Granted, six games, but still. That is brutal. They don't force a lot of fumbles. They've forced five. Michigan's only forced two, so can't really say a lot about that. And they've recovered seven total. There's been 13 opponent fumbles. Michigan's only recovered one fumble. Turnover margin-wise, Iowa is at plus one. They're averaging 1.13 a game. They're at plus nine. Michigan is at minus three, number nine in the country, in the conference, rather. Last thing I'm going to look at is sacks. Iowa gotten 22 sacks this year. They're number two in the conference behind only Indiana. Compared to Michigan, who's 11th with nine sacks on the year. Keep in mind, five of those sacks were in the first game. Sacks allowed, Iowa allows about 1.38 per game. They've allowed 11 sacks so far. Michigan's only allowed eight, believe it or not. Michigan's offensive line done a pretty good job. So it's pretty brutal, right? What you need to do is force Iowa into third down, because they are one of the worst in the conference at converting on third down. 33.64%. They are 12th in the conference. Michigan's 10th. As far as allowing teams to convert, Michigan actually allows the most, 46%. Iowa's middle of the pack, they allow 40%. So that's where you're going to win the game, really. So, but obviously huge that they lose Smith Marset, the 20th best receiver in the conference. He averages 49.3 yards per game. He has 345 yards so far on the season with 25 receptions. Now, compared, but he's not quite as big of a big play threat as Ronnie Bell, who's number 10. It's got 26 receptions, just one more for 401 yards. But he seems like he was really coming on. So, but, you know, they don't have to just worry about him. You have to worry about Sam Laporta, the tight end. You have to worry about Brandon Smith. You have to worry about Nico Ragani. I don't know how to say his name. So, yeah. That's Iowa in a nutshell. But, yeah, it's really disappointing that that's what's happened, that Michigan has to go up against a team of that caliber. Really would have – I know no one would have gotten up for it. But, I, you know, if your plan was to match up, you know, 1-1, 2-2, so on and so forth, make the exception for Ohio State, but then leave the rest of it alone, man. And Michigan would have matched up against Illinois. That weirdly would have been a fair fight. This one, maybe not so much. All right. Let's move on. First, I got to tell you about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. I put my money where my mouth is 10 times over. The maple pecan, which was the last box I bought. I mean, I made exceptions to my vegan during the week diet almost daily there near the end of the box. Every day it was like, I'm just going to go grab two. That's going to be my meal. They are delicious. They taste like a candy bar. And I think this tastes better than most candy bars, actually. The maple pecan does. It tastes like a candy bar, but guess what? Low calorie, low carb, high protein. Everything you are looking for when it comes to a protein bar. So go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code LOCKEDON, get 20% off of your next order. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON, 20% off your next order. Again, how many times have you guys put your money where your mouth is? So many of you out there have done it. I'm telling you, you won't regret it. Give Built Bar a chance. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON. All right, let's talk a little basketball. I don't know how much I'll have to say, but we need to talk about them, obviously. They're 6-0. That game yesterday did not go as planned. It seemed like Michigan was going to roll away with it, up 15. They let Penn State get back into it. and it became a dogfight until the very end. But defensively, they clamped down. They went away from kind of what their plan was early, and that was according to Juwan Howard. He told them, listen, we're going to get into a gritty slugfest. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to play what we were doing. We're going to get down in there. We're going to have to scrap for it. We're going to have to get it. And I'm fine with that. It's just, what are they going to look like when they face some other teams, right? Because that's the big thing. Like, when they are facing some others out there. It's funny, Michigan's actually ranked ahead of Michigan State in KenPom, which I didn't expect, especially because Michigan State hasn't won over Duke. And I know Duke is number 12 in KenPom, but Michigan's 14. Michigan State's 20. Michigan has the number 7 offense in the country and the 35th defense to Michigan State's 9th and 42nd, respectively. They're also ahead of Ohio State, who's 21. Right now, there's only two Big Ten teams ahead of Michigan in KenPom. Iowa's number 4, no surprise. Also 6-0. Wisconsin at 4-1 is 7. So, I mean, Iowa is super legit. Number 1 offense in the country, but their defense, 77th. So that's a lot to take in. It's a lot to take in. I'm really excited to see what this Michigan team does, but they've got some time to correct some mistakes. Unless they get that North Carolina State game rescheduled here sometime between now and Christmas Day, it's gonna be a little bit of a ways before we actually see them take the court again. You got the 2-week layoff, and then they have another 1-week layoff because then they won't play again until New Year's Eve. So next two games are Nebraska and Maryland. Now here's what I like. I like seeing the ball movement. I like that they, you know, it's such a deep group. You never know who's going to hurt you. What I don't like, and I stand by this, I said this in my takeaways yesterday, and I got a little bit of flack for it, but I stand by this. I said they don't have really a go-to guy right now. And some people say, well, Dickinson with 20 points, he's your go-to guy. No, that's not what I'm saying, because they went through a couple, you know, sizable scoring droughts yesterday, which is kind of the first that we've seen that all year. And they just didn't seem to have a guy that they would go to end it. Whereas like last year, and it wasn't, you know, I wouldn't say like, yeah, put the ball in his hands and let it happen. But Xavier Simpson was always that guy, right? Like he'd come in with the sky hook. He'd put the team on his back and at least get scoring again, end the drought. Hunter Dickinson kind of became that guy late in the game to help edge it, to put it away. But it doesn't feel like he's the go-to guy. Plus, I don't think you want to be relying yet on a guy that's played 6 college games to be the guy that, like, hey, we really need a bucket. Let's go to him. Maybe in, like, 5-6 more games down the stretch? Absolutely. But right now, not yet. Livers, not a great game. Franz Wagner has been mostly what? Like, I feel bad because I feel like I'm harping on him every game in my takeaway. So I didn't do it yesterday, but Franz Wagner scored 14 points twice, and it was kind of like a, oh, okay, Franz Wagner scored 14 points. He's supposed to be a lot better than what he's shown so far. He is just out of rhythm, completely out of rhythm. Yesterday, he didn't even try to score most of the time. Like, when they were starting to go through it, he had only had 2 shots. He wasn't taking shots, which, I mean, sometimes that's because you're creating shots for other guys, but that kind of wasn't the case either. I don't have my box score up anymore, yeah, there was definitely. I wish I did have it so I could see how many assists he maybe had. I don't think he had a ton, but it's just something that they've got to do a lot better. It's just something that we need to see more. We need to see more of Franz Wagner. Isaiah Livers has now had 2 not so great games, so we just need to see those guys really step up. And I've got it all up here now. Wagner finished with 6 points. He attempted 5 shots. He was 2 for 5. Missed both of his 3-point attempts. But he had 7 rebounds. So he's been solid rebounding the ball. Defensively, he's been solid. 3 assists, which is tied for the team high along with Mike Smith. As much as they're doing the ball movement, I want to see some of those assist numbers go up a bit. But, I mean, you can't really argue with how good Hunter Dickinson was. Because, I mean, in 27 minutes, he got 20 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks. But you need to see either Livers, Wagner, or I would say Sean D. Brown step up. Sean D. finished with no points, only took 2 shots, missed them both. Sean D. is a guy that's supposed to be that scorer. So when he comes in, you hope that he can be a guy that can go and get it. I understand you can work your offense from Dickinson on out. I'm completely good with that. But you need some of these wings to be a little bit better. Franz Wagner, 6 points. Isaiah Livers, 10 points. Sean D. Brown, 0. You need something more than that. You can't win some of the bigger games on the schedule in the Big Ten conference if that's what you're looking at. Bench points, Michigan only had 6, and they'd been I understand Dickinson's not – he's not on the bench right now. He's with Austin Davis out, Dickinson's in the starting lineup. 6 points compared to 20 points from Penn State's bench. So you've got to figure it out. They've got time, though. John Beilein said he's really excited about, you know, watching this team. Former head coach John Beilein said he thinks that this could be a really special team. I think it has that capability. We just got to see it. See it in bigger games. They haven't gotten to those big games yet. They haven't played a marquee matchup yet. ESPN BPI predicts that they'll lose 6 games, both to Michigan State, the sole contest against Ohio State in Columbus, against Wisconsin. And I'm missing 1 or 2 there. They think they're going to lose the last 4 games of the season. I think they have the potential of being better than that, but they have the potential of being worse than that. It's really hard to put your finger on what this team is yet. Anyway, all right, that's going to do it. We'll be back tomorrow. We have a couple players we'll be talking to tomorrow. I'm sure we'll continue our Iowa conversation in football. And if anything comes up in basketball in the meantime, that's where we'll go as well. So thanks for listening. We appreciate you. And we will talk to you again soon. Peace.